to write down your goals. You need to write down what motivates you. It's important. You know, the thoughts are good. Thoughts go through your head. That's how big buildings are built. People think about it. But eventually, the architect puts it on paper. So you've got to write it down.
And I agree, because I tell people, make a paper and pen your best friend.
Yes. Yeah, that's so a good, important. That's a good, yeah, I like that. Paper and pen your best friend. It works. It really does. And what have you got to lose? Try it for 3 weeks. That's what it takes to make a habit. So if it doesn't work for you, hey, just say to yourself, that Manu guy is an idiot. He doesn't know what he's saying.
I want a refund.
Yeah, you know, this is, it does work. The book Think and Grow Rich, I don't know if I mentioned it last time.
I don't think so.
Oh, that's been the greatest book of this world as ever, next to the Bible. That's the greatest book ever written by Napoleon Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he wrote it in...
Oh, it's been a long time.
1926.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe yeah. It was earlier than
and
that.
It's still in print.
Mm-hmm.
And all of you out there, if you want to get rich, go and read that book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It's probably $2 or $3 or $5. That's the most important book you'll ever read. And then after that, you'll love that book so much. Read it several times.
Yeah.
You'll love it so much, you'll read everything by Napoleon Hill.
Richest Man in Babylon, have you read that one?
No, I haven't.
Good book.
I'm going to make a note of that.
Let's talk about some of the ways that you invest your money. You've got businesses, you've got real estate, mutual funds, stocks. Tell me, give me your thinking on some of these. Obviously, you have a lot of different baskets.
I like divestiture. I don't like to put all my eggs in one basket. I don't think it's a good thing. I think everything runs in cycles. And so this century or this decade or this year or the next 2-3 years, you know, interest rates are low, so real estate works, and that'll cycle out. Interest rates will go up. Everything is a cycle. Everything goes round and it comes back again, just like the hula hoop came back, just like the you used to wear white ties. And then it went to real narrow ties, and now it's going back to wide ties again. So it's a cycle. So I like to have a couple of $2 in 5 different baskets. So my $10 are fully, and all I won't make equally the same profits in each.
Right.
But I sleep well. I just like the what's the word, diversity,
mm-hmm.
of because that's a conservative way. See, there are two things. One is to make money. And folks, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you all now. It's easier to make money than it is to hold on to it.
That's a big thing of Ron Rice's, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. We didn't get to mention it in the program, but he's a big firm. You know, to him, money is easy to make, but it's keeping it and holding on to it. So, and then learning how to make it work for you while you're sleeping.
So I'm telling you, all you people who are listening to this, believe me, it's easier to make money than you think. It is. It's if you decide you want to make money and you are afraid of poverty, you'll make money and you'll get rich.
So if they're having a hard time making money now, they're thinking, well, that's the easy part. It's keeping it. Keep going.
Holding on to it is more difficult. That again, back to, and I've repeated this 10 times, you're tired of it. You're probably going to shut this thing off and go away. But you're working on the business. Up front, you're thinking now, I'm going to make $300,000 from this deal, or by the end of this year, I'll have made $300,000. Now, what do I do with it? How do I hold on to that? There are a lot of con artists out there who'll take your money easy. You've got to keep thinking ahead how to hold on to that money. And you'll find as you get older, you get more conservative.
Yeah, I'm finding that.
Yes.
Whereas, know if I like it, but I am finding it.
No, it's true. Whereas when I was young, I had to double my money each year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I make 8%, 10% on my money, I'm happy. Why? Because now it's a lot more money. So,
right.
You know, if you have $100,000, well, you know, the next year you've got to have $200,000 because $108,000 the next year, you know, at that rate, you won't right. get anywhere. But if you have $10 million
at 8%,
now you've made $800,000 the next year. That's still good money. So the bigger the amount, the less you can afford to make, and safely. So being conservative, you're still fine because you're still making good money. Does that make any sense? Oh, it
makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, so, because you know, you got more to lose too if you go the wrong way.
Exactly. You need to hang on to it. You need to. My niece, my nephew visited me last night. He said we went to Vegas, and man, I was on a hot streak. And every time my chips went up, my wife would come around and swipe most of them. And she would disappear out of sight, so I can't even go back to her and say, honey, give me the money. You know?
She'd cash them in, wouldn't she?
She went and cashed them in. And then so he would build up another stack. And then again she came along and took it away. And he said we made a lot of money that night. And he said, truly, I don't think we would have made that much money if she hadn't kept taking it away.
And I don't think people do that in the real world. They don't take a percentage every week. They're more consumed about having to pay that stupid bill as opposed to taking 5%, 10% and put it in a fund or whatever.
Pay yourself first.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that.
You are the most important person. So take out your little 5% right off the top. Then deal with it. You never made that money. So, just imagine it's not made.
So let's say we take 5% off. We're talking about a person now who didn't even have the money to buy this program. So they went ahead and they really stretched and bought it, Mano. They don't have a lot of money to play with. Where should they start? Give me some specifics. Do you think maybe just a little mutual fund where can you set up with a company where every month they just pull it out of your pay or your bank account?
Oh, yes.
Even if it's $50? I know we talked a little bit about this before, but let's just touch in on that one more time.
You can buy one share at a time. Or you can buy, like you said, there's a program, $50 a month.
They'll just pull it out and put it into something.
Just keep.
And I think people need to do that just to know and feel good that they're starting to do something. Because sometimes they can listen to somebody like you and my other mentors, and it's some serious money that you guys have. And sometimes it gets overwhelming, and they've got to realize it does start with $50. Don't wait around until you think you're going to have somebody throw $100,000 in your lap, because it's not going to happen.
The big oak tree from the little mustard seed, and it's that $50. You know, it's the little that we at the very beginning. How much did I say that grows into? It's seven.
Seven times five, we use it,
seven units.
Seven units, yeah. Five units into the 7 years.
Yeah, and how much was the amount? It wasn't much, but then at the end of that time, it was a lot more. It a penny. Yep. It was a penny. One penny.
That's right. We did that in the first interview. Yeah, it came up to $1 million over a year or some short time, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know I have that problem at times. I have to be careful of, because I think I have to have $10,000 or $50,000 extra, then I go ahead and take the $50,000 and put it into something. But that's a mentality I've got to work on, because there's nothing wrong. And now I actually have one particular area where I only pull out $120 out of one account every month.
Good job.
And then I have another one.
That's the one that's going to keep you in your old age.
I would be
surprised. Because you don't miss it, you don't feel it. It ain't happening. You forget about it.
And you know that's true, because I had needed some money And I always think, where do I have some money I can use? And it took me nearly an hour to realize, oh, wait a minute. I've got, you know, an extra 10 or 40 or whatever $1,000 sitting there in that account. So that's a good point. You don't even feel it. And maybe that's what they have to do. Start slow where it's just something simple. Just get to the pattern or the habit of taking action to do it.
It doesn't matter how small. It just
matters that you do it.
The fact that you do it. Even if you do $1 a day, we all can afford $1 a day. $1 a day will make you a millionaire if you do nothing else in your life and just keep a regular job. Take a pencil, take a calculator, take a piece of paper, do the math. I'm telling you, it's like when they tell you, quickly give me an answer. What would you like, $1 million or a penny? But I multiply that penny, I double it each time for 1 month, which is more money. And of course, most people would go for the $1 million. But I think that penny goes up to like $1 billion or something.
Now, how can it go up to $1 billion when $1 million starts off more than a penny, though?
No, $1 million one time.
Oh, one time. Gotcha. Oh, okay. One time or a penny multiplied over a month or two.
Just 1 month.
1 month. Okay.
1 month.
That's what we, and it came up to.
Double it.
Okay. Double it every single day.
Day.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is like old school, old news to us, so we've forgotten it. But all of you folks who are listening, hearing this for the first time, seriously, take out a calculator and take a, just put in one unit, which is a penny, and double it, and do that 30 times, and you'll find it's more than $1 million.
And I think,
way more.
And I think that's what I know that attracts me to you, is that you do appreciate starting with just the penny, and you value a penny. And I know you treat I know you teach your kids that a penny is valuable. In fact, I remember the last time we did the interview, right after that, I saw a penny on the ground. And normally I wouldn't pick it up, but because of you, I had to pick it up.
You better pick it up, because it makes, it's every little bit. I still use coupons. I'll use coupons for the groceries. I've become in such a habit that it's a game.
Yes.
I never buy anything at full price. I can't remember the last time I bought anything at full price. I just won't do it. It's against my nature. I just can't do it. I mean, it's got to be a coupon, or I got to get 10% off, 5%, anything.
Right, right.
Because whatever I save, if I save $10, I look at it as 30 years from now.
What it'll do.
That's 5 units of 7. So you double that 10, 20, 40, 80, 160, $320 I saved. It's only 10. And the item I'm buying may only be $100. If I save $10, I just saved $320. Now, isn't that weird math?
Yeah, it is.
But it's real math.
But that's why you're where you're at. So the moral of the story is, next time you're walking around and you see a penny, oh, don't be stupid. Pick it up just to remind you of how important
it is. That's right. And coupons. I mean, people don't care for 50-cent coupons and $2 coupons and $1 coupons. Get your wife and kids involved. Get them. It's real money.
And you know what?
I
can actually see you here in your house, on your living room, with the Sunday paper out.
That's right.
And the entire family. Do you actually do that? And the entire family out there just cutting coupons.
No, actually, my family is not even into it as much as I am. To me, it's fun. And you know, I have 3 girls, a dog, a housekeeper, my wife, myself. So we buy, you know, so many toothpaste, so many toothbrushes at a time, spend a couple $100. And I remember asking my wife, how much did all those coupons come to? And she said, $38.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. I'll stop at a gas station, and if it's $1.61 and the other one is $1.55, I go to the $1.55. I'm not working any harder or extra. It's just getting into the habit of spending less
and keeping and what saving you have.
That. Just saving that. Just put away that money and forget about it.
See, that's a good idea. That's an important point. Being cheap is one thing, but being frugal and cheap for the reason of taking the money that you're saving and doing something with it.
That's
so
right.
So if you're just going to be cheap just to be cheap, you know, that's not the point here. The point here is the money that you're going to save from, you know, going across the street to save the 9 cents, that's the point that you're going to take that 9 cents and not physically take it, but you have the mentality right. that you're going to take it and do something
that
with it.
That money goes into my grandchildren's trust. And when I only give my grandchildren, if I only give them $1,000 a year, which I easily save, that's... they will be millionaires by the time they reach adulthood. I mean, and it didn't take any extra effort. I mean, it's not like I went and worked and made an extra $1 million. I just stopped on the left side because that gas station was, you know, whatever, 9 cents less. And the coupon is fun. It's a game. I actually get a thrill out of saving money. Who wouldn't? I mean, if any of you save some money, you feel good about mm-hmm. yourself. That's something, you know. Yeah. I'll take it and I'll give it to charity.
But so you're just doing it for the kill.
I'm
you're
doing
it for the thrill.
Yes,
it's but it's fun. Also teaching you something.
It's fun. Well, it's become a habit. You know. But yet we'll go out to dinner. And we'll spend $500 on five people. That's okay. Have a good time. Don't be a Scrooge. Don't be stingy. Don't be... but don't throw money away. Good money. It's there in the newspaper. You paid 50 cents for the Sunday paper. You can pull, oh, I don't know, $10 worth of coupons out of it. That's $9.50 profit.
And speaking about watching pennies and, you know, clipping coupons and everything, Manna, what is something that the average individual that doesn't have an extra $1,000 or $5,000... where can they get started slowly? What are some recommendations you might have for them?
One of the best ways for someone who is not the Donald Trump, the ordinary guy, blue collar worker, hardworking guy, he wants to put aside money for his kids or for his future. The best way I have found is the Roth IRA. The Roth IRA is something that you put money into, which goes into the stock market, if you like, or something else. But at the end of the term of when you are ready to retire, assume age 67, that money, when you start to take it out, you get it tax-free. The government doesn't get any taxes on it. The regular IRA, whether you knew it or not, or whether anyone knows it, but if you have a normal IRA, when you take your money out to spend at age 67, when you can't afford to pay taxes, that's when you end up paying taxes on that. So the Roth IRA is better, because if I put, say, $50 in the Roth IRA now, I'd rather that's money after you pay the taxes. So I'd rather pay taxes on $50 now than $5,000 later, because that $50 is going to grow to $5,000. So the Roth is a real dream for most people. And a good way for little people to get into it is to get with a discount house. I'm not a financial planner, I'm not an advisor, but I found the service there is good for small people. The big guys like me and all that, they want you to have $100,000 to start an account. Whereas you can go to a or possibly even, and you can have a $50 a month dollar cost averaging account. In other words, they can even take it out from your bank directly, or you send them a $50 check every month. And that's called dollar cost averaging. The good thing about that is, if stocks are low, assume, let's pick one stock, say Microsoft. If Microsoft is selling for $50 now, and you buy $50 worth, you get one share. If it's selling for $25 6 months from now, you won't feel so bad because you bought two shares then. So you've averaged out your cost. And dollar cost averaging always, it takes away the bitterness of the up and down of the market.
Interesting. Now, you said earlier, though, that you have a choice whether you put that money into stocks or mutual funds. How does a person educate themselves as to which way they should go? I'm sure the broker is going to give them some ideas on that. Where would you take that?
Right. Well, the first thing we need to know is everything is cyclical. You know, we used to have broad ties. Your grandfather wore ties probably a foot wide. And then I remember the ties came down to an inch.
Right. We talked about that earlier. Oh, yeah.
And then it goes wide again. So everything is cyclical. Interest rates are low. Real estate is doing very well. So there's a thing called REIT, R-E-I-T, and that's a mutual fund. So you can move your fund your money into a REIT, and it allows you to move your money from different, for example, healthcare or REITs or technology or bios. You can move your money every 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. You get to know what is starting to get hot. Produces a newspaper that shows you which funds are doing well, which are not. And if you look at those little newspapers on a monthly basis, you'll see which ones are moving up the line and which ones are going down the line. And you get onto the horse, you switch horses, and it doesn't cost you anything. And you get onto the one that's moving up the line.
Hmm.
So it's a good way to educate yourself, and you're in charge of your own money.
All right, you said with the Roth that they take out the taxes first. So from just the little layman thinking, if I give $50 into this, how is the tax taken out? So let's say I'm just kind of, you know, just being really naive here. So if you're my broker and I give you the $50, does he have to take out a percentage of that and it go to Uncle Sam and then whatever's left, the
$47? No, it's after-tax dollars. It's after-tax dollars. So if you get a paycheck, if you took a paycheck, you paid your taxes. Your accountant can adjust it at the end of the year, but it's money after you've paid your taxes. In April, when you pay your taxes, or if you get a tax refund, that's after tax dollars.
And that's money that you take that after tax dollar to put in the Roth? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That means you paid the tax now.
Mm.
So that money probably was $60, but you paid $10 taxes, so you put $50 into the Roth. But I'd rather give up $10 now than $100 later when I can't afford it, when I'm old and I'm retired. I don't want to pay taxes then. Who does? You don't know what the tax rates are going to be. They might be 70%. Now it's a known factor. You know what it is. You know the money is, when it comes out, it's tax free.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing here that we're trying to emphasize with people. No matter where you're at, you know, even if you're minimum wage, you can at least pull out $25 or $50 a month, and you've just got to take the action step.
Yes, you've definitely got to help yourself. I'll give you an example of how you can help yourself. There was this old 70-year-old man who went to church, and he asked God. He went on his knees and he prayed to God, and he said, "God, please let me win the lottery. Help me out here. I've never won anything." And this goes on after week after week. And finally, it goes on month after month, year after year. Now the man is like 90 years old, ready to die. And he goes to the church and he goes to God and he says, "One more time, I'm asking you for the last time. Please let me win the lottery, because you know I'm old, you know I don't need the money for me, but I want to do good. I want to help the charities and help the people in needy. And I'm not going to come back to you anymore and ask you, because I've been doing this for 20 years and you just haven't helped me out here." So he's saying his final prayer and he hears a voice from the heavens that says, "Jacob, You know, the first time you asked me to make you win the lottery, I was in your corner. You had me then. And I was willing to let you win the lottery. He said, Jacob said, but Lord, why didn't you let me win? At 70 years old, I could have done a lot more charitable work. The Lord said, Jacob, you know, I help those who help themselves. You had to go out and buy a ticket at least.
Well, that's true. So let's hopefully that'll get people to remember you've got to go out at least cut the $50 check.
Help yourself a little bit. And believe me, God will work with you. Time will work with you. Time is on your side. If you're young, time is on your side. You will come out ahead.
Good point. Let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk more again about going into businesses. I know it's important for you to find either a niche business or whatever business you're in, find a niche inside of that. Give me the advantages of that.
Well, there are two schools of thought on that. One is, I think last night, I went for a haircut and the guy was asking me, you know, they chit-chat to you while they cut your hair. He asked me, hey, what do you do? I said, well, I'm retired. And he looked at me, he said, you don't look that old. I said, no, I'm not. I retired 5 years ago at age 48. How did you do that? I said, well, you know, I worked hard. I did this, yada, yada, yada. He says, you know, I think that's the best way to make money. Go into business for yourself. I said, well, you've got that right. I agreed with him wholeheartedly, and I told him, you know, it's risky, but no risk, no gain. So he said, you know, I want to open my own beauty parlor. I don't want to work for this company, and I want to make my own. I said, well, that's commendable. I mean, you got to start somewhere, and maybe you'll be the only employee, and then one by one you employ more people and work for you. He said, yeah, that's what I want to do. So he said, but you know what? The reason I haven't done it is there are so many of them around. There's so many beauty parlors. There's so many haircut. So it discouraged him. But there is a school of thought on that. If there are a lot of people in the business, that means there's a lot of money out there to be had. Mm-hmm. They're all making money. Otherwise, why would they keep opening more and more? So, you know, if you're going to fish in a pond, and there are tons of fish in there, that's a good pond to fish in, you know. And yeah. So therefore, that kind of took him aback. I almost felt him wanting to stop cutting my hair and run out right away to look for a location, because it all of a sudden it was a revelation. It made a lot of sense to him. Now that's one school of thought. The other school of thought is find yourself a niche in the market. Do something that very few people are doing. Or when you call them up and they give you an appointment 3 months down the road, you know that's a good business to be in. Yeah. And my wife has called up businesses to, you know, cabinet makers or whatever to come and do things. And some of them, it's like, hey, we're too busy. We don't, you know, so find something that is needed in the marketplace. Right now, anybody can go and find out where a lot of homes are being built. And if a lot of homes are being built, then they need people to take care of their swimming pools. They need people to mow their lawns. They need people to put cabinets, those fancy cabinets, in their closets. You know, they need services. They need a maid to come in maybe once or twice a week. You're looking for a niche, almost without competition.
Right.
And you do a good job. You can charge a price. People will not change. Once they don't like change. Once they get used to you, they like you. You do a fair job for fair money. You can just grow. You can expand. And the reason I say find a neighborhood where new homes are, because those are the people that need all this. The old ones already have. So it's easy to go find money find business. People say, oh, gee, there's no business. Economy is slow. Economy is bad. That's all garbage. Money is there. It's you can find it. You can make it happen. You got to go buy that lottery ticket.
Yeah, that's a good point. Going back to your pawn illustration, a lot of people that already have this program, they have their own businesses. So I think it's also important, if you're already in that position, to find a niche within that business. No matter what it is that you're doing in a business now, you can always find a niche to make it better. Like, I mean, there's tons of speakers out there. Obviously, I'm one of them. But one of my little niches are that you can come in my Learjet and I can fly down to the Bahamas, or we can go to a talk show. You can watch that, so you can stay, you know, shoulder to shoulder with me all the way. And that's a little niche I found within my business.